Hilchos Schirus Poyalim, Halacha Aleph, the laws of hiring workers. The Shulchan Aruch bases this on a pasuk in Chumash, Beyoimoy Titein Schoroi, that you're obligated to pay a worker on the day that he completes the work, because Ve'elov Hu Noiseis Nafshoi, his nefesh is yearning for that payment. Loi Solin Pula Sochir Itcho, you're not allowed to delay the payment of a hired worker, you know, to the following day. Rav Nosson Zal says, Al Pima Shekosav Le'el Behilchas Umnin, related to what we spoke about earlier in Hilchas Umnin, Haloch Aleph, Shekol Hamalochos V'ho Umnus, Hu Bechinas Tikken U'Birur, that all work that's done by working people in this world represents a Tikkun and a Birur, Shetzrichin Bnei Otom HaTachtoinim Daiko Lahashlim U'Lesakein Maisi HaBoirei, whereby we earthlings, we lowly earthlings, must complete and fix the work of Hashem, al yidei birur hatoiv min hara, by us doing a selection of good from bad. Kimavur Hashem, as was explained in Hilchos Umnin Halacha Aleph, bechinas mila, as is the famous story in the Medrash, where a goy said to Rabbi Akiva, what kind of ridiculous thing is this? If the Jews take their sons at 8 days old and give them a bris, are you implying that Hashem created this child incomplete? And you're going to finish the job for Hashem? You're fixing up Hashem didn't do a good enough job, you're fixing it? So Rabbi Akiva said to him, you bet, 100%. And he said to him, look at everything in this world. Look at, do we have to plant trees and harvest and this, that? Hashem created everything in this world incomplete for us to be able to have the privilege of being his partners and finishing up his work, finishing and fixing his work. As is said in the Pasuk, Asher Bara Elokim La'asos. Hashem created everything for us to do, for La'asos. In the Olam Ha'asiyah, we have the ability to finish it. Kifima Sheshomati Me'atmor Neiro Yoyer, Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what I heard from Rabbeinu Zal, and note, he doesn't say Zal here, he says Neiro Yoyer, because this is Halacha Aleph. This was written while Rabbeinu Zal was living. Rav Nosson Zal's first pass of the Shulchan Aruch was while Rabbeinu Zal was alive, that he wrote these shurim. Halacha Bey, you know, the latter halachas were later on in life. Ayin Shom, look over there where Rabbeinu Zal discusses this. V'alkein, Omra Zal, Gedoylo Malocho, Shehizir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olov, La'asos Malocha. The Gemara says that work is a very, very important thing where Hashem warned the Jews and instructed the Jews to do work. Ki HaMalocha Hu Dovor Godoil V'Tikun Godoil Ma'oid. Work is a very, very significant thing and it's a major tikun. Ki Mevarer HaToiv. The person is doing a birur of good. Any type of work that a person does, constructive work, he's selecting the good from the bad. Umashlim pe'ulas haboyri yisborach shmoy, and he's completing the work of Hashem, shelo yhoyo lo shleimus ki yemata al yodoy, which was incomplete until this human being, this Jew, came along and completed it. V'ze b'chinas, this is why the pasuk says in Chumash, Sheshes yomim tasem lachtecha, 6 days you should do your work, ubayoyim ashvii Shabbos, and on the seventh day rest. Ki sheshes yomim oso Hashem, because Hashem worked for 6 days. V'hikshu ha'meforshim, all the commentaries ask, lomo lo ilichtev sheshes yomim tasem lachtecha? Why should the Torah tell us to work for 6 days? Halo ikra mitzvah rak lishbois b'Shabbos. Are you implying that there's a mitzvah to work? Why doesn't it just say, rest on Shabbos? Why does the Torah make a positive statement, 6 days a week you should work? Ach be'emes, but Rav Nosson Zal says, the fact is, ha'toiro mazheres sheho'odom yasoik b'malocho b'sheshes yimei ha'aseh. The Torah is instructing Klal Yisrael to work during the 6 days of the week. Ki hu tikun u'shleimus pulosi yisborach, because that's how they make it tikun and complete the work of Hashem. V'zehu ki sheshes yomim oso Hashem. That's why the pasuk says, you know why you should work? Because Hashem worked. Implying, because Hashem worked and Hashem didn't finish the job intentionally. He left it for you to finish. And just as he worked during the 6 days of the week, you should work during the 6 days of the week. V'alkein gam onu muzhorim lasek b'malocha v'umnus b'sheshes yimei ma'aseh. This is why we are instructed to do work and craftsmanship during the 6 days. Kidei lahashlim ulamalo yismaiseh b'reishes hasheros Hashem b'sheshes yimei b'reishes. In order for us to complete the creation which Hashem did during the first 6 days. She'ein lo shleimus gomor kim al yidei b'chinas sheshes yomim tasem alocha. The sheshes yomim of Hashem is incomplete without our sheshes yomim tasem alachtecha. Dainu al yidei malochos v'umnus satachtoinim kanal. Through our malocha and through our umnus, we're zeichet to participate in and to complete Hashem's work. V'zeh sheshes yomim tasem alachtecha. Uvayom Ashri Shabbos, ki mizeh nase bechinas Shabbos. What creates Shabbos? The 6 days of the work of the 6 days of the week. That's what creates Shabbos. Ki Shabbos hu shvisa she'en biroraz. Shabbos is a time of rest where the Sifrei Kabbalah say there are no birurim taking place on Shabbos. There's none of this selection of good from bad. That kind of stuff does not take place on Shabbos. Ki Shabbos hu b'chinas kulay toiv. Because Shabbos represents a time where there's only good. There is no bad. The bad takes a walk on Shabbos. So Shabbos is not a time when we can do this selection and extraction stuff. V'hashabbos nasa al yidei sheshes hayomim daika. And Shabbos, this Kedusha of Shabbos, this status of kulay toiv, is only created if during the 6 days preceding that, the person was making the birurim that he had to. In other words, kavyochel. Each and every person is given a big bag of barley on Sunday, and he's told for 6 days to select out, to extract out all the chaff and junk and everything, and that's what he's doing during the 6 days of the week. And if he does it, and if he doesn't sit around and sleep and play games, if during the 6 days of the week he's doing the birur, come Shabbos, he's got a clean bag of bar. He's got kulay toiv. He's got a bechin of kulay toiv. Bebechinas, as the Gemara says clearly in Avodah Zorah, mi shetorach be'erev Shabbos, yoichel b'Shabbos. A person who did what he was supposed to do on Friday, Friday meaning throughout the 6 days of the week, he has what to eat on Shabbos. Bebechinas, hayoim la'aseisam ulamocho lekablaschorom. The Gemara says, we're supposed to do the mitzvahs today. Throughout the Torah, it always uses the word hayoim, hayoim, v'ashonechem etzav hayoim. So one of the drushim, the Gemara says, is today is a time for action. When you're in Olam Hazeh in this work, do. It's a place for doing. Tomorrow is when you get the reward. Tomorrow, which is called Shabbos, Olam Haba, is a time for vacation, where you're getting the reward in a sense. Shehu yoim shekulei Shabbos. Olam Haba is called the day that's all Shabbos. Ki al yidei asiyas malocha shebesheshes yomim, al yidei zeh mevarrim umekaptzim hatoiv mehora. As a result of a Jew working during the 6 days of the week, that's when he's making the birur of the toiv from the ra, he's separating them and gathering the toiv. Vazai nase Shabbos shehu bechinas kulay toiv. And the result of that is creating a bechin of Shabbos, which is kulay toiv. Ki kvar nase bechinas shvisa bechinas kulay toiv, al yidei shenizbara toiv min hara b'sheshes hayomim. As a result, if he did what he was supposed to do during the 6 days of the week, of constantly birur and more birur and more birur, by the time he comes to Shabbos, he's left with a clean bag of barley. He's left with a package of kulay toiv. Ki mitchilo hoyem urav toiv ora. Because in the beginning, it was a bag of good and bad mixed together. V'alidei habirur shebevov yemei amaisa. Through the birur that takes place during the 6 days of the week, nase bechinas kulay toiv. He creates this status of kulay toiv. Shezeh bechinas Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is all about. V'alkein, this is why you have a halach in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos, which is one of the final halachas, we're going to be coming to this shortly, one of the final halachas in Hilchas Shabbos is, what if a person is in the desert and they lose track of time and they don't know which day it is? What do they do? How do they figure out which day to choose as Shabbos? So it says over there, ha'hoylech ba'midbor, if a person's walking in the desert and they lost track of time, they don't know which day Shabbos is, Moine Vav Yamin, from whenever they realize that, they count 6 days, whatever day they come to this conclusion that they don't know where they are, so day one is Sunday, that day is Sunday, the next day is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Vo'isa Shabbos Bayayim HaShvi, and the seventh day he considers Shabbos. Question is why? Why don't we say Zrizim Akdim HaLemitzvah? Why don't we say the day he realizes that, let him declare that day as Shabbos, and the following, why do we, because you can't have a Shabbos without 6 days in front of him. Ki HaShabbos Hu Tomid La'achar Sheisha Simei HaMaaseh. A Shabbos can only be after and the result of 6 days of Maaseh. Ki Al Yedei HaBirur Shebavov Yemei HaMaaseh Nasa Bechina Shabbos Kanal. It's only as a result of the Birurim that take place during the 6 days of the week that you can come to a Shabbos. And this is why when we talk about the Sfirois, the Midos of Hashem, the 6 days of the week, it's brought correspond to Zerampin, Chesed, Givura, Teferes, Netzachoy, which are right, left. It's a concept of Kosher, Posel, Tomei, Toher, Osur, Mutter, which is the basis for Mishnayis. Mishnayis is we have this Birur taking place. This Kosher, this Rabbi Yehuda says Kosher, he says Posel, he says Toher, he says Tomei, he says... And you have to make this selection. You have to constantly choose between the two, which is the halacha, which is right. Whereas the halacha, the final halacha, that represents the Shabbos. Shabbos is called the queen. It's brought that the word halacha is oisyois hakala. That represents this kala. That's the result. After you've done that birur of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, after you've worked the 6 days, that's the Shesh Yisonim Tasim Alocha, the learning of Torah Shebal Peh represents this struggle, this battle to make this birur between Tov Ra, trying to figure out which is the right pshat and which is this. And the result, if a person does that, the result of that is Menucha. Halacha is a concept of menucha, where now he knows his mind is at peace. When he doesn't know the halacha, he's in a state of confusion. It's bilbul. When he gets to the halacha, that's this bechina of Shabbos, menucha, this concept where he can rest. He's in a state of rest.
This sheshesimei maaseh adidei birur. It would mean then that the way we see the Torah world today, people who learn the whole thing would then in fact not be involved in the birur.
Chas v'shalom. Here he's explaining, and here's what we have to remember again. Likutei Halachos, what he says on one page doesn't mean this is it and there's nothing else. He's explaining the working people, how they have their 6 days of the week and their Shabbos. This birur takes place in the fact that a person is involved in achila and shtia. That's another form of birur. That's in other words, everything is relative. The concept of Olam Hazeh versus Olam Haba, this world is called the 6 days of the week, and Olam Haba is called Shabbos. In this world where there's constant good and bad, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara going at each other, that's also a concept of a birur of Toi Vora. Each time a person has to make a decision whether to do a mitzvah or do Avera, that's this Toi Vora battling. And Rabbeinu Zal speaks about two levels of tshuva life. He talks about a tshuva of Sheish Yisimei Achoel and a tshuva of Shabbos. That when a person is at a level of tshuva, where despite the fact that he regrets his mistakes of the past and wants to do good, but he's still at the beginning, where he still has ups and downs. He's still involved in that Toi Vora battle. One day he's good, one day he's bad. Well, you know, 1 week he's good, 1 week he's bad. That's a certain level of tshuva, and Rabbeinu Zal talks about the tshuva of Bechina Shabbos, where a person gets to a level of tshuva where he's won the battle completely, and he's in a state of rest, just about. And Rabbeinu Zal, and logically, it's just about impossible for a person to get to the tshuva of Shabbos without first going through this phase of this tshuva of Yemei Achol. Again, for those people that learn, let's say those people, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his chaverim, where Toirosoy Umenosoy, their 6 days of the week is the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. The Limud of Torah Shebal Peh is where they're doing their Birur of Toi Vora. And their Limud of Halach, or their Limud of Secrets of Torah, is the Bechin of Shabbos, where you have the rest, that concept. Rabbi Moshe Zal is just giving you a scenario. He's putting you in a certain seat and showing you how this section in Shulchan Aruch, which deals with workers and this, that, let me show you what they're doing on a Ruchnis level. Let me show you what these people are doing on a Ruchnis level. Their Maisa, their Malocha is completing the Malocha of Hashem and everything. This is not, he's not saying here that if somebody doesn't work, he's a goy, he's not part of his bir, not chas v'shalom. He's explaining for this community what they're doing and what's being, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Paragraph Beis. Nimtza, Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we just explained, that a person going out to work is completing Hashem's creation, and he's making a birur of toiv or ra, and that the only way that you could be zeichet to Shabbos is if you had the 6 days of the week first. The person who worked during the 6 days, that's the person who has the tikkun of Shabbos, nimtza, shehamalocha hu bechinas birur hatoiv. So therefore, another way of looking at going to work is that it's to be able to select the good from the bad. It's to extract and select good from bad. V'alkein hu bebechinas nigunim. Rav Nosson Zal says this is how we could compare the concept of going to work and the concept of music, songs. Ki hanigun hu bechinas birur hatoiv. Because the concept of creating a song or singing in general is also a concept of selecting the good from the bad. Bechinas v'nagein biyotoi v'toiv loch kanal. There's a pasuk where Shaul HaMelech was told when he was feeling very depressed and sad that they're going to bring before him a youth who can play a harp, a musical instrument, and he'll play for you and it'll be good for you. That's the wording. V'nagein biyotoi v'toiv loch. Rabbeinu Zalman Likutei Moran points out that we see from there that nigun is an inyan of birur hatoiv. And there's a chapter on Likutei Moran, actually, Rabbeinu Nosson Zal will mention it in the next paragraph, chapter 54 in Likutei Moran, Torah Nun Dalid, that's where this is discussed as a major topic, the issue of music being a form of selecting good from bad. Where Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that the concept, let's say playing any kind of instrument, it's bouncing. You're not playing in order. You're picking a note from here and a note from there, and you're passing over certain notes. You're bypassing certain notes, saying these notes are not good for now. I have to choose that one, because if I take the wrong note, it'll mess up the whole song. You know what happens when a person can't play well, and they're accidentally hitting the wrong note, the thing sounds terrible. Whereas the person who knows the song well is bouncing back and forth. Here it's a flat, here it's a major, here it's a higher octave and everything. And by selecting exactly which notes to hit and which notes not to hit, that's the concept of creating a song. So that Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter highlights this issue that music is a major birur of toiv from ra. And he brings several psukim in the Torah to show this. That this is the concept of negina, it's extracting toy from ra. Here, Rav Nosson Zal wants to say that work is the same tikkun. A Jew going out to work, going out to the marketplace to work, that's a place of ra. The shuk is assumed to be a place of klipos, where again, you're mingling with non-Jews, and you're not involved in Torah in a direct way usually. You're leaving, the center of Torah is the Beis Medrash, the Bet Knesses, your own house, where you have your own food and everything. Suddenly going out to work, where am I going to eat? Can I go to this restaurant? Can I buy here? Can I not buy? It is a tremendous birur going on of toiv from ra. And Rav Nosson Zal wants to compare, show that these two are parallel. The birur of nigun and the birur of malocha. V'ze bechinas yegia kapecho ki soichel ashrecho v'toiv loch. This is why one of the psukim in the Torah that complements a Jew who goes out to work, it says that a Jew who is zeichet to benefit from the fruit of his own labor, ashrecha, is very fortunate, v'toiv loch, and you will have good, meaning, v'toiv loch daika, ki hu bechinas birur hatoiv, meaning that the result of work is supposed to be that you're left with the toiv. The money that you were able to earn as a result from this work, that represents the toiv, because again, during your workday, you encounter different tests. Somebody tried to get you to interrupt your work, to steal 2 hours of your boss's time and not put in the work, and rather play other games. And you said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm on the timer now. I can't talk to you. I'll talk to you after I finish work. That's an example of a birur of toyu from ra. Or again, questions of talking to women or touching, you know, coming into all the different tests that the person passed throughout his going to work, where he was forced to turn right here, turn left here, to accept this or reject this. One person made him an offer to buy something, and the guy said, I'm buying it from you, my price is $300. You agree, and you say, yes, 100%, it's yours. Oh, God, okay, the guy says, I'll come pick it up at 4 o'clock. And now, 15 minutes later, somebody comes in and says, I'll pay you $600 for the same thing. And you have a decision to make, but it's sold already. I'll give you $900, but it's sold already. And the guy rejects this money and rejects this money because he says, that's treif money. If I accept the $900, I'm a thief. I gave the previous guy my word that I'm giving it to him for $300. You know, the story of Rav Safri was in the middle of Shmon Esrei, the whole story. So these are all examples of birurim that are taking place during the work of toiv from ra. Ki hu bechinas birur ha-toiv kanal. Veze bechinas. וזה בחינס, הוא היה אבי כל טויפס, כינור ואוגו וצילו. There's a pasuk in Chumash where it says that there was a person who was the father of someone who started playing musical instruments. This is during the time of Noach. Exactly, exactly. I'm sorry? Yuval, exactly. גם הי יולדו אס טובל קיין, לויטש כל חוירש נחוישס וברזל. The Torah makes a connection between showing that the one who invented music, who brought musical instruments into the world, was from the exact same family as the one who started the use of copper and other metals, you know, which are used in forming kalim, making all kinds of pots and pottery and those kind of things. Rav Nosson Zal says, why does the Torah put these two in the same pasuk? The musical instruments and the craftsmanship of making the world. Rav Nosson Zal says, because in terms of, on a spiritual level, in concept, these are both the same thing. This is why these two things are written in the pasuk right next to each other. Because any craftsman who's working with metal or copper or construction, whatever it is a concept of making songs. Bebechinas menagin bekinor, bechinas venagin biyodoi v'toiv lochkanal. As we quoted the pasuk earlier, that a person making music is also selecting good from bad. Ukemavur heite b'maymar vahimi kates ayin shom, and as is explained and elaborated on in chapter 54 on the Likutei Moran. That's where it discusses the topic of negina, music, and making songs as being this concept of a birur of toiv ra. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, now I'll tell you a very cute thing. This is why it's a known item that when you go by the shoemaker's store or the watchmaker or this one, they sing during work. Lama? Why did Hashem put it into the person's nature that that's a norm in the world? The answer is, ki hamalochu bebechinas nigunim. This has a source in Torah, it has a source in Neshama, because these two are the same tikkun. They're both pushing the same button. A person who's making songs to serve Hashem, you know, for the right purpose, and a person who's working in a kosher way, they're both performing a tremendous tikkun, a birur of Tov Ra, which is part of bringing a shlemus to this world, part of being mashlim the bria. Veze bechinas, Rav Nosson Zal says, this is why the pasuk says in Mishle, veze bechinas hogoy sigim mikosef vayetze latzoref keli, that referring to those who purify the impurities from silver and they form silver kelim from it, hogoy rosho lifnei melech veyikoin batzedek kisoy. And the pasuk says that, also referring to the purification, the removal of the rasha from the king, from before the king, and bringing forth justice, establishing the throne with justice and righteousness. Rav Nosson Zal says, look how these two things are put right next to each other. The work of the craftsman in extracting the impurities from silver or things like that in order to be able to use it in craftsmanship, and the act of selecting, removing the Russia from the Malchus in order that the Malchus should be established with Tzedek. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki birur ha-keseth me-hasigim lasis keli, because the act of filtering out the impurities from silver in order for it to be functional as a keli, hu bechinas hachnoas harishis al-yidei birur ha-toiv mehem, is also the concept of being machnia, the rishoim, by extracting the good from them. Bebechinas nigunim kanal. We've mentioned this many times, that very often, when Hashem deals with a Rasha, or a tzaddik deals with a Rasha, how does he deal with him? He extracts the good from the Rasha, and then once the good has been removed, all that's left is bad, the bad is discarded, like, then you can discard it. Whereas while very often there are sparks of good that are in the Rasha, which if you destroy the Rasha at that point, you're going to be destroying good also. So at times, there's enough good in the Rasha where the good can help you bring the bad back also. But sometimes that's not an option. Sometimes the only thing you can do is extract the good and discard the bad. As it says by Rabbi Meir with his Rabbi Acher, Rabbi Meir rimoy motzo toicho yochal kliposoy zorak bechinas vo'oid ma'at ve'in rosho kanal behilchas mekabalas asode ayin shom. Rav Nosson Zal says, just as we discussed earlier in the laws of sharecropper, the concept of selecting out that drop of good that's found, that oid ma'at ve'in rosho, that once you extract the good from it, once you find a good point, then you can't classify the person as total bad anymore. So he's showing here how the Pasuk makes an analogy between the refinement, between work. One of the major examples of work is working with metals and things like that, where there's this birur taking place, and making songs, music, and also the case of Tikkun HaMalchus Digdusha, which also involves a birur of toy from Ra, as the Pasuk said there, V'huchan Batzedek Kisoy. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, now he's going to get to the halacha point. Now he's going to quote the law in Shulchan Aruch and explain why it is this way. Va'alkein his hira Torah lo sei schar pulosoi biyoymoi. This is why the Torah insists on paying a worker on the day that he completes his work. Why? Based on this introduction that we've given, you're going to understand a depth behind that law. Ki elu hanitzutzois v'hanukudois toivois shemavarer hapoel al yidei malachtoi kanal, because these sparks of kedusha, or these good points, which the worker succeeds in selecting and refining as a result of his work, whether it's making the song, or refining the silver, or making the clothing, whatever it is, heim niskaptsim b'toich hamomoin shemistakir al yidei pulosoi. All of that good is gathered in his paycheck. When he receives his paycheck, the paycheck is a result on a gashmius level. When a boss pays you, what's he paying you for? If a boss is paying you to make shoes, is in the process of making shoes, there's a garbage pail there. There's all kinds of leather. You know, while you're making the shoes, there's stuff that ends up getting thrown away in the process. Correct? Or songs. A person is writing songs. In the process, there's a couple of pages in the garbage of songs that he wrote that ended up not being songs or no good. You know, or tapes that he made that didn't come out good enough, they have to be discarded. When the boss is paying you, what is he paying you for? He's not paying you for what ended up in the garbage. He's paying you for the resulting toiv of your work. So that your paycheck, on a physical level, is it reflects what you produced, correct? Rav Nosson Zal saying that on a spiritual level, it's true too. In the money that you receive, because again, everything's from Hashem, in the money that you're receiving is wrapped up the toiv that you accomplish from your work, meaning a Jew who was religious, in the example we gave before, and he encountered certain tests in his Yiddishkeit during the work that he was doing, and he passed those tests, then there's a bracha in his paycheck. His paycheck has toiv in it, where his paycheck, he's not going to have to spend it on doctor bills or other kind. His every penny he earned is going to be a home run. He's going to be able to use it. It's going to have a blessing to it and good to it. Whereas if chas v'shalom, while he was doing work, he was committing sins. As a result, in the process of work, he was failing tests. Then that money will be lacking toiv. It'll be lacking the toiv on a spiritual level that it could have had or should have had if he would have done good. So now Rav Nosson Zal says that the money that he receives represents the gathering of the good that he accumulated during his work. Ki kol toiv, v'chol nitzutzos kidoshos hem b'toich hamomoin, kemuva b'divrei Rabbeinu Neri Yoyer. Because Rabbeinu Zal proves in Likut Imran that money is, it has in it tons of good and tons of light and sparks of Kedusha that are found in money. This money that the worker receives for his work, it represents the sparks of Kedusha that he has selected, you know, where he's done this selection of good from bad and fixed it. These sparks of Kedusha are gathered in his paycheck, in the money. That's why on a physical level, the result of putting in a week's hard work is that paycheck, that piece of paper. Guy comes home and the wife says, what did you do all week? And he says, I'll show you what I did. Look what it says here, $372.24. This is what I did. What do you mean? Yeah, every single, I had to go here. It meant getting up and going on the bus and this, but this is the result. Rav Nosson Zal is saying that on a spiritual level, it's the same thing. When a person sits in Beis Medrash all day and he's learning and everything, so again, his result is the dafim of Gemara, or this and that he learned, etc. Although again, today people get paid for that also. But Rav Nosson Zal is saying a worker who's working on a Kedusha level also, whatever sparks of Kedusha, whatever tikkunim he made during his week of working, Hashem wraps all of that up and hides it in his paycheck. All of that is found in that money. The hamomoin hu shleimus nafshoi, and that money represents the shleimus of the person's soul, the completion of his soul. Ki hanefesh shorosho bashirus, kama shikos Rabbeinu Yoyer, because Rabbeinu Zal shows in the Likutei Moharan that the soul of a Jew comes from the same place in heaven as money comes from. They both come from a very high place in heaven. Hainu, shalidei malachtoi shofad, through the work that the person did, aydezeh umevarer umalaket umekabetz nitzutzois, he selects and gathers and puts together sparks of Kedusha, shehem chelkei nafshoi, which are part of his soul, shehoyu mefuzorim sham, which were scattered over there in all kinds of different things, as a result of this person being misaken those sparks of Kedusha, that's what resulted in the paycheck that he received. That's where all the good is found. And then he receives that money. And he brings shleimus to his nefesh. To give an example, a person without a house, a person who's renting a house, he doesn't own his own house, his nefesh is chaser in a certain sense. We know that there are certain things that give a person shleimus. The Gemara says that gimel dvorim marchivin daitei shel odom. There are three things that give a person's brain the ability to expand, you know, an openness of the mind and an expansion of the brain. Those three things are a good wife, and a good dira, a good place to live in where he's comfortable, and kalim noim, good kalim. A good car, a good this, a good set of dishes, all of these things give a person harchovas hadas. Harchovas hadas is part of a tikkun of a person's nefesh, yes or no? It's part of a tikkun of a person's soul. Now, if a person works, and in each paycheck that he earns, again, you see it on a physical level, besides paying for the food and electric, all the basic bills, from each paycheck, he's putting aside $100 or $1,000 towards the purchase of a house. And then after working for a certain number of years, he takes that money that he saved up from those weekly paychecks and puts it as a down payment on a house, that kind of thing. And that house, he buys the house and he lives in it. That house is a shleimus of his nefesh. In that house, he's able to invite guests. He puts up mezuzahs. There's big mitzvahs that he does that bring a shleimus to his nefesh. Because he had that house. How was he able to get the house? As a result of pieces of that paycheck, of each paycheck that were going towards it. How did he get the paycheck? The paycheck was the bearer of the toiv that was taking place in each week that he worked. The paycheck is a reflection of the resulting toiv from each week that he was working. And again, it's taking place on two levels, on a physical level and on a spiritual level. V'alkein tzorech losei schorei b'yoymoi. Rav Nosson Zal says this is why the Torah is particular, that the worker be paid on the day that he did the work. Ki kol habirurim vatikunim hulefi ayoyim ulefi hashor. Because when a person makes birurim and tikunim, everything has a time stamp on it. There's a different tikkun on Rosh Chodesh than there is on a regular weekday. There's a different tikkun on Shabbos than there is on a regular weekday. So therefore, the tikkun that a person made on Tuesday is in no way to be compared with a Wednesday tikkun. Kimuva b'tchila samaymar vahimikates. As Rabbi Nizal explains in the beginning of chapter 54, that Hashem speaks to a person b'mokaymu b'zman. Each time there's winter and there's summer and they're there, you look outside, you see there's major differences between them. So you can't say that what a person did during the winter time is the, let's say, a farmer. The nature of the work that he does, b'gashmi, is during the winter, doesn't resemble in any way what he's doing during the summer. During the winter, he's planting and he's playing with the earth and all kinds of stuff. During the summer, you'd think he were a different person. He's got different machinery, different clothes, different everything to do the summer tikkun. Baruch Nias also. You can't compare the tikkun that a person's making during winter time, even what time he davens, let's say, the time for praying shacharis. During the winter, let's say if you pray shacharis at 5 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't count. You don't get credit for it. Because again, let's say it's too early to daven based on when the sun comes up then. Whereas in the summer, if you daven at that same time, you score a shacharis on your record. So we see that the tikkunim at different times are different. You know, on Shabbos it's a mitzvah to eat, on Tisha B'Av it's a mitzvah to fast. You can't say that the tikkun for this day is the same as the tikkun for that day. The alkein. When a Jew works for you on a particular day, and this Jew earned a certain amount of money because he selected certain sparks which were needed for the completion of his nefesh, whatever sparks he selected, whatever tikkunim he made, were based on a particular day, on Sunday, this and this day. Therefore, you must pay him on that day, in order for him to receive that shleimus hanefesh today. Because the tikkun that he made today applies to today, not to tomorrow. Can you, again, a person who doesn't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, can he say, what's the big deal? So I'll say it tomorrow. I mean, Rosh Chodesh isn't running away from me. It was yesterday. So what? I was tired yesterday. I didn't get a chance to say Hallel yesterday. I'll say it tomorrow. We know you can't do it. Because the tikkun, that which Hallel does for your soul, it can only do within that 24-hour period. You miss it, you miss the boat, man. You got to wait till next month for that opportunity to present itself again. The tikkun that saying Hallel can do for a Jewish soul can only be done on this day, and then it comes around 30 days later. Just like Lahavdil B'Gashmias, the ice cream truck that comes every Tuesday to Har Nof. You miss it on Tuesday, you can't tell the kids, no, I'm sorry, I was too tired to go outside, I'll give it to you tomorrow. The kids will laugh in your face because they know, Mommy, the ice cream truck doesn't come tomorrow. He isn't going to come till next week. Everybody knows that that's a fact. Lahavdil b'kedusha, it's the same thing. This person worked for you on a particular day, which means he made a bureau of certain sparks of kedusha, and now it has to get put onto his nefesh. How does it get put onto his nefesh? When you put the paycheck in his hand. If you dare hold on to that paycheck and you don't give it to him till tomorrow, by you giving it to him tomorrow, it's not going to have the same effect on his nefesh anymore. No way. You're still, it's not like, what's the big deal? So I gave it to him tomorrow. It is a big deal. You don't see what a big deal it is. Try saying Hallel on Beis Rosh Chodesh, you get thrown out of the shul, right? You be the chazan for Yamut, and you're saying Chazaras Hashatz and say Hallel, and everybody starts screaming, what do you mean it's not Rosh Chodesh today? So what? I didn't say it yesterday, so I'm saying it today. They'll laugh you out of the shul, right? Here also with the paycheck, it's the same thing. The paycheck is a tikkun, it's a result of a tikkun that's made on a particular day. And if the paycheck is delivered a day late, it's not the same anymore, as Rav Nosson Zal is going to prove now.
What if you aren't satisfied before?
That's then he's still, if the person for whom the work is being done, it's subjective to a degree, then there's a bezdin. Or there's people, there's a third party that we can ask, who can go to another kablan and tell him, look at this. Is this work acceptable or not? Rav Nosson Zal is making one assumption here. He's assuming that the person did the work correctly. That if the person did the work correctly, then he was mavara v'nitzutzos that needed a birur. If he didn't, then spiritually also. He didn't fool anybody. A kablan who's hired to do a job to fix a bathroom, and he fixes it halfway where the thing's going to break afterwards, and the person pays him full price for the job, that kablan didn't fool Hashem. He got a pay. True, his price was 100 shekel for this, and he received a 100 shekel bill, but he doesn't know that Hashem put an invisible 50 on that. He doesn't know that 50 shekel of that's going to go to doctor bills, which he wouldn't have had if he would have done the job right. He thinks he pulled a fast one on the guy. He put in junky materials and this, that. He fooled it. He made a little extra profit. Who are you playing with? As I was explaining here, he's putting a certain perspective on it, that the person going out to work needs to know that the reason why he's going out to work is to be mashlem de bria. He's participating in mashlem de bria, and he's participating in bringing shlemus to his own nefesh. How? Again, by being able to buy the house that he needs, or the car, all the things that he's going to use that paycheck for, or feeding himself and his family that week. All of those things are going to represent a shlemus to his own nefesh and a shlemus to the bria. The world is not going to be complete if that person's plumbing isn't fixed. Or, in other words, to present it on a certain level, Hashem wants the world to have a shlemus to it. If a certain person in his house has a plumbing that's not working, then on a certain level, Hashem's total picture is incomplete. If you fix it, you're completing Hashem's world. You're participating in shlemus abriya. If you fix it fake, if you fix it false, you know, you make believe you fixed it and you didn't fix it, then again, you're making believe you made a tikkun, you didn't make the tikkun. Hashem isn't being fooled in the process. You have, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, just to use this as an example, in Eretz Yisrael, there are people that will say that if a Jew will try to work in a Jewish builder will try to work in a totally kosher way, a religious way, meaning he'll only hire Jewish workers. For starters, let's just start on that level. You can never earn a living like, it's impossible. Because the price that people are willing to pay for a job is such that you can't afford to pay a Jewish worker. The prices are structured in such a way that in order for the builder to be able to earn a living, he has to have the Arab labor, which he gets at, you know, a third of the cost or a quarter of the cost, you know, and that way the prices are just, otherwise, can't make a living. The answer is, that's a reflection of this Olam HaShekeh. That's a reflection of a falsehood on a certain level. So right, people are going to be koveyed for this job. If they bring in two contractors to do the job, one contractor says, I'll do it for $2,000. The other guy says, I'll do it for $10,000. He goes back to the $10,000 guy and says, how are you going to do it? Well, the other guy wants two for it. He says, yeah, but you don't know he's going to hire Arabs to do it. He's going to pay 20 shekel a day. And I'm going to bring a Jewish worker who I'm going to pay $20 a day or $50 a day. So the person says, then of course I'll take the Arab because he's cheaper. And then the work gets done, and then a week later they find out that there's a stimad, so that the whole plumbing of the house should break, and he's got to pay $4,000 to repair it, or other things like that. And he finds that it was that looking at the big picture, there was a sheker. Because he wasn't working based on this, asking himself, what does Hashem want here? What does the Torah say here? Which is the tikkun and which is not the tikkun? If I have a choice of giving this work to a Jew or a non-Jew, what does Hashem say? There are certain instances where Hashem says you must give it to the Jew. There are certain instances where Hashem, if the Jew wants to rip you off in a silly way, you're not obligated to pay 10 times as much because the Jew says this is my price and tough luck. You know, if it's a legitimate kind of thing, it's one thing, if not, not. So again, it's based on this issue of a tikkun. If any Jew that wants to say, if I'm going to put in an honest day's work, I'll never earn a living, then he believes that his living is coming from his hands and his muscles, not from Hashem. Whereas if a Jew believes in Hashem, and he'll follow all of Hashem's instructions and advice, and he thinks that he's not going to have paralysis, then he's making a mistake. Then he doesn't believe in Hashem, he doesn't believe in the Torah. And again, there are people like that. There are people that will laugh at you, you know, or again, in the olden days when people used to say that if you're not going to go to university, if you're not going to have a career, you'll die. You know, you can't live in this world on Torah. What are you not? You know, crazy people think that they're gonna sit learn Torah all day. How are you gonna survive? This is, you're not in the real world. The real world, you know, that doesn't work. And they found out in later years that unfortunately by them, because they took that route, and they saw that the little Jewish guy who earned less as a result of the fact that his kids did not have a PhD or this, that, true, they weren't able to earn the same salary as the. But in the end, they look and they see this has more of a shlemus than that. Looking 10 years, 50 years down the road, who won and who lost? He won because he had certain kavod at one time, that his son graduated with honors, and the other guy didn't have those honors. But looking at the end, they see that this one has more nachas than this one. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein ikrak peido b'yoyim horishon. This is why the Shulchan Aruch is especially particular about that first day. The tekev shover ayam arishon, and as soon as you miss that first, the opportunity of paying him on the day that he completed the work, oy lailo harishono, or the first night, we said, in other words, the person has a 12-hour period, say the work is finished late in the afternoon, you have the entire night to pay him. If the work is finished, you know, sometime during the night, you have the following day to pay him, and that's it, just the daylight hours. Shuv ein over. Once you lost that 12-hour period approximately, you were over this lav in the Torah that says do not delay the payment of a worker. It's not that every day afterwards you're over the lav again for every day that you let go by. Kizeh ikaro ha'azhara, because this is the main warning. Me'achar shebirer v'kibetz hatoy bozeh hayoyim, because of the fact that this worker made the biror and the gathering of the good that he did on this particular day, al kein tzorech lahashlem nafshoy ba'oysoy hayoyim aydei schar ha'pula kanal. Therefore, you have to see to it to be mashlem his nefesh on that day, which is going to be done by paying him, for giving him the paycheck. Ki habirur hu lefi hayoyim kanal. Because the biror is based on the day that it's taking place in. It's definitely connected to the time. And if you're going to give him his payment on a different day, lo yushlam nafshoy, his nefesh will not get the shlemus that it was supposed to get, or that it could have gotten if you would have paid him on time. Ki hashlemus lefi oisoy hayoyim she'ovad boy kanal, because the shlemus of the nefesh of the worker is based on the day that he did the work in. Again, interesting thing. A person lays cement, and they know that you're supposed to smooth out the top of cement, you know, within a certain period of hours after you put it down. What's the big deal? I didn't get around to do it. I'll do it tomorrow. The turkey shows up tomorrow, and he sees that tomorrow the thing has become solid, where you couldn't do it with a sledgehammer. You couldn't smooth it out. The only way to do it is you got to blow up the whole thing and start from scratch. So we see that again, even you would say, what do you mean? Hashem doesn't have his act together. I mean, Hashem can't do the same tikkun for the nefesh, you know, tomorrow as he did today. The answer is, this is how Hashem created this world. The Olam Haba is not bound by time and space. Olam Hazeh is definitely bound by time and space. And there definitely is a difference in what's happening today, or what can happen today, or what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't assume, well, if I didn't do it today, I'll do it tomorrow. Sheker. In many, many cases, what you didn't do today can't be done tomorrow. The Alkane. Achar shovar yoim horishon. Once that first day has passed, which was the day in which he completed the work, and the additional amount of time that the Torah gave you to pay him, shuv eino yoiver. Once you were over this lav once, you're not over again for every additional day or anything like that. V'alkein hashir. Okay, that's number one. Number two now, Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein hashir hu oino achas. This is why in the Shulchan Aruch it says that the time limit that you have is one oino, which means one cycle, not a double cycle. In other words, it's either a night or a day. Dahainu, oyoin, oylaila. Dahainu, in kilos chiros sevayoim, if he completed his work during the day, oy besoif halayla, or he completed his work towards the end of night, shehu hascholas hayoim, which is sort of like the beginning of the day, yesh lo zman kol hayoim. You have the entire day to pay him, daylight hours. Now, if he finished the work 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. or 4 a.m., you have that following day, you know, from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., till Shkia, to pay him. Or if he finished the work 9 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, you have till 6 p.m. to pay him, period. V'chein im kolos chirosoi balayla. If he finished his work during the night, in the beginning of night, let's say, or at the end of day, shehu tchilas halayla, which is like the beginning of night, yesh lo zman kol halayla. You have the entire night to pay him, and that's it. Ki hayoim v'halayla bohem ho'oinois mishtanois. Because day and night are boundaries where change takes place. Day is different from night, and that's when the oina, the time, changes. K'may shekosuv, as it says in Mariv, Bisvuna mishane itim umachlivis azmanim. Hashem, with his wisdom, changes the time and replaces time. He replaces night with day and day with night. So we see that they're two different items. V'alkein hayoim oy halaylo nekroim b'loshna poiskim oina. This is why we find that one of the Hebrew words that's used to refer to a day or a night, in other words, a 12-hour period, is oina. And oina means a time frame, a complete unit of time. Ki kol echod zman v'oina miyuchod. Because each one of these, a day or a night, is considered a distinct time, period. Ki hayoim hu bechino she'oz nimshach nefesh u'moichin chadoshim. Now Rav Nosson Zal gives us the Kabbalah aspect of it, about what generally takes place by day on a spiritual level and what generally takes place by night. So Rav Nosson Zal says daytime is a time when the person draws onto himself his nefesh. When he gets up in the morning, he makes the bracha hamachzir neshamos l'kor ha'mesim. He gets his nefesh back, which left him at night, u'moichin chadoshim, and he receives a new shefa of brains, a new hashpa of moichin every day. The Arizal explains how it starts from chatzos at night, and it's supposed to happen when the person is saying kriyashma at shachris. That's when he's supposed to get the new moichin, you know, for that day. So daytime is a time when a person is receiving the nefesh again and receiving a new set of moichin. U'balaylo lehepech. At night, there's different activity taking place. The opposite, Rav Nosson Zal says. She'oz malin hanefoshos. Nighttime is a time when it's written that the Shekhinah goes down into the places of Tumah and selects out from there any sparks of Kedusha that can be rescued, that are able to be rescued and extracted, and it extracts them from them, pulls them out of there, and brings them back up into the Kedusha. That's the activity that takes place at night. Rav Nosson Zal is describing what takes place in the world on a general level by day and by night, how there are different tikkunim happening by night than there are by day. Nimtza, shekol echot mishuna zman amechaveroi. So you see that day and night are two different birds, you know, two different things. There's different activity that takes place. The alkane, tzorech loseis schoroi bizmanoi, biyoimoi beleiloi. Therefore, you must pay the worker at his right time, whether it be by day or by night. You don't even have the option of postponing it tonight, you know, tonight when the time was day, or vice versa. Ki habirur v'hatikun lefi azman v'hashor. Because the birur and tikkun that needs to be done is dependent on time. And if you miss the time, ovar zmanoi botel karbonoi. You can't daven maariv by day. You can't daven shachris at night. You miss the boat. U'kesheholav hayoim ubo halaylo huzman acher. Once the day has gone and night comes, it's a different time frame. Ve'ein boi hashlemus shel hayoim shovar. And you can't achieve the hashlomas hanefesh that you would have gotten if you would have been paid by day, if the guy tries to pay you by night now. Ki hakoil lefi hayoim v'hashor. Because it's all dependent on the day and the time. That's how important it is for a person to see to it that he gets paid on time. And for the one who's doing the payment, to make sure he pays on time. Because if not, he's over a lav, a mitzvah sese doiraisa of loisolim pulas chasocher, and on a ruchnius level, he's stealing. Don't think you're going to go to sleep. So what? I gave him the same $60. What's the difference if I gave it to him, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or I gave it to him at 10 o'clock at night? It is a difference. Proof is, let's say you keep that $60 in your pocket on Friday night at 10 o'clock. If it's no big deal, we know that on Friday afternoon, you're not afraid to walk around with $60 in your pocket. Friday night, you're afraid that you get your head chopped, you get skila, if you're walking around with $60 in your pocket. So don't say, what's the big deal? It's no big difference. You see that according to Yiddishkeit, it could make worlds of difference, you know, a day from a night. So too also, that Moshe is explaining here, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that it makes worlds of difference if you pay your worker on time immediately, or if chas v'shom, you let it go into a new time frame. To try to clarify on our level, you know, from what's brought in Likutei Halachos in many places and in these forum, that during the night, starting from the moment of midnight, the Zohar HaKadosh describes this and talks about it, and the Arizal, that there is a special activity whereby the Shekhinah goes on a trip. The Shekhinah travels. Where does it travel? It travels into the realm of the Klipos, which is a dangerous trip, and it goes into there and tries to search and find those sparks of Kedusha that can be rescued, that are ready to be rescued, and that it's possible to rescue, and tries to pull them up out of there and bring them into the Kedusha, into the realm of Kedusha. And the Zohar HaKadosh explains this is why it's a big zuchus and a mitzvah and a privilege and an assistance to Hashem. Those tzaddikim that get up at Chatzos to do avodas Hashem at that time, they're the ones who are filling the tank of the Shekhinah that needs to go on this trip, you know, to go into this realm of the Sitra Achra, to draw out sparks of Kedusha from there and bring them up into the back into the Kedusha. And we mirror that with our shachris in the morning, afterwards, when we daven shachris in the morning, and we say karbonos and k'toris, the concept of saying karbonos and k'toris is implying that I believe that in this behema is bechina sitra achra, behema is heder adas, I believe that there are sparks of kedusha that are found in there that can be elevated. When they took certain pieces of the behema and put it onto the mizbeach and elevated it, That's a physical reflection of the spiritual tikkun that the Shekhinah is doing, of going down into the place of the Sitra Achra and bringing up sparks of Kedusha, lost neshamas and different things, and trying to bring them into the realm of the Kedusha.
So the pastors were saying that the time person who has an esek in that area, they're up in that area.
Exactly.
And but for the earlier part of the night, what would that be for?
As far as I know, that's a time when this activity does not take place. That's a time when the klipos are strong, and we're not in a position to do anything to deal with them, sort of.
In other words, it's not mochon kodashim like the yom.
No.
It's not biru like after midnight.
No.
It's just a time of nezek.
Potential nezek, I think.
So there's no purpose of it all.
Chas v'shalom. Check your writings of the Arizal to find out what good does happen during that time. But from the perspective we're given, we're told that 99% of the action that we could be involved in is only from midnight through the end of day.
So does that mean the person, whether it's through learning or working, not such a productive time?
Correct.
That's the basic bottom line.
Correct.
And therefore it's also that the real time of sleep therefore should be from the time of dark until midnight, or is that only
if a person is capable of doing that, that's preferred for tzaddikim and non-tzaddikim. If he's capable, if his schedule can handle that, that's definitely preferred.